in Canarsie.
That's where I live, Canarsie. Never thought I'd live in Canarsie. I used to drive through Canarsie, and I used to think the people looked strange there. Now people drive through Canarsie, and they see me walking down the street. Well, they're not strange, and the neighborhood has changed quite a bit since I've been helping in the church. But here we are growing up, and my girls are growing up in Brooklyn and Kenny. And I grew up on Long Island. Brooklyn was far, far away, as far as I was concerned. But I found that to be in God's will is the best place to be. You know, sometimes we think, I would never want to live there, or I would never want to go there. But you find that if that's where God wants you, you don't want to be anywhere else. And I smile every once in a while, and I'll come home, and I'll be driving, and we'll get back to Canarsie over the Verrazano Bridge, and then driving along the Belt Parkway, or maybe I'm coming from the Whitestone Bridge and working my way through East New York there, and I feel like I'm coming home. Not just my residence, but I just feel like that's where we're supposed to be, and feels right to be there. It's good to be in God's will. And if the Lord should ever decide to move us somewhere else, I imagine we can feel home somewhere else. Wherever Jesus is, that's where we feel at home, and wherever he wants us. And so, in Canarsie, in our church there, we do what the church in Ridgewood taught us to do, I suppose. We look to the Lord for a verse to hold before the congregation, behold before us throughout the year. And we have a little sign that hangs over the platform so that everyone can look up and see that verse every time they come to church. We change that verse each year around watch night service or as we enter into the new year. And our verse this year was just a simple one, but it's been such a blessing to me. And it's found in Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount there. Among the Beatitudes, Matthew 5:8, where Jesus taught us, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Praise God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We've been praying about that this year, often in prayer meeting. It comes up in somebody's prayer. Lord, make us pure in heart. Purify our hearts so that we can get a greater sight of Jesus. Because when you get a sight of Jesus, it really has a transforming effect upon your life. The more clearly we see him, the more greatly we desire him. And the more we become like him. And so we've been thinking about that. What does it really mean to be pure in heart? And I suppose there are different ways of looking at it. And I think all of the ways, these ways are valid and can be a help to us. One thing we read about, when we think of purity, we think of cleansing. Make my heart clean. Well, that's a good place to start. Lord, make my heart clean. You know, there's power in the blood of Jesus to cleanse us from all sin. And we need to avail ourselves of that power. We need to recognize our need of cleansing and then come to that fountain and let the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanse us from all sin. We found that it's not just enough to be forgiven. But the Lord wants to change us. He wants to cleanse us through and through. I told a story. I'm sure I told it here. We had a young lady in church who used to testify. It was around Thanksgiving Day. She got up one time and she testified how she thanks the Lord because he's so good and patient with her. You know, she's been losing her temper at work and giving the other workers a hard time. But you know, the Lord, he forgives me and he's... I know he just loves me and... And I just want to thank him because he's been so patient with me. You know, we all got a blessing when we heard that because we know what that's like. We have our shortcomings And Jesus never gives up on us. And so we're blessed when she realized that the Lord is not giving up on her. He still loves her. He forgives her. And she's still in his hands. Well, next year, she got up and testified, and she said the same thing. Pretty much. She's still fighting with all the workers. And she's still thanking Jesus for being patient with her. Well, it lost a little bit of its blessing the second time around. It's like some of the food I eat. Second time around, it's not as good. Others, works better that way. Speaking of food, the food's been great at camp, Sister Edith. I know that because the more I play my guitar, the further it gets away from my body. I know, I must be enjoying the food. Well, anyway. You know, God just doesn't want to forgive us, but he wants to cleanse us. It doesn't bring him glory to let him do half a work in our life. We ought to let him do a complete work. And when Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood, it wasn't just for our forgiveness, so that we could feel better about ourselves, but God wants to bring about a cleansing in our hearts, a deliverance from those things that don't bring him glory in our lives. And we need to realize that this thing in my life does not glorify God. It dishonors him. And I can't let that continue. And we need to do business with God about these things in our life that come up over and over again. Bring them under the blood, yes. But believe that the power of the blood will set you free. We like to sing that song, "There's Power in the Blood." Wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. But do you know that power? Do you just sing about it, or do you really know it in your life? You can know that power in your life, and God can cleanse you increasingly. Sometimes we pray, "Lord, effect a deeper cleansing in my life. Lord, get all the way down to the bottom of that thing in me." Sometimes the roots are still there. Somehow we've received some help from the Lord, and we're not maybe acting the way we used to or talking the way we used to, but somehow there's still some of those roots down there, and that's why we need to keep ourselves under the blood all the time and let the blood of Jesus Christ do its work in our hearts. And so to be pure in heart, I suppose, first of all, has something to do with being clean in our lives, being cleansed from sin, purified from sin. But then there's other thoughts connected with purity of heart. And one other has to do with wanting one thing. Brother Eddie called that to our attention again recently. To be pure in heart is to want one thing. I was looking up the word pure in the Old Testament, and in my Strong's Concordance, almost all of the verses to begin with had to do with pure gold. Connection with the temple or the tabernacle. Pure gold. Not mixed with other metals and other things. But God wanted the gold to be pure. You know, pure gold is, they tell us, is much more easily molded. But when it's mixed with alloy, it resists the craftsman's working. And so God wants us to be pure in that sense, free from other interests and other desires and so on. One thing have I desired of the Lord. There's only one thing. If I had to look at my life and evaluate my life and pinpoint what is really important to me, the one thing, what would it be? Well, David said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I may behold his beauty there in his tabernacle." David came down to this one desire, his life, and that was to dwell in the presence of God and to behold the beauty of the Lord. I find that we have a lot of interests in our life. We want the Lord, but we want a lot of other things too. And that's not being pure in heart. And that's why we don't see the Lord in His beauty, and we're not drawn to Him as we should be. When Jesus spoke to His disciples, He spoke what we call the parable of the sower. And He said that there are those that receive the word of God, but He said, the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. You want God's blessing in your life. You want to do God's will. You want Jesus to have His way in your life. But you find that there are cares that you hang on to. Things that you worry about. You don't turn it over to Him. You hang on to those cares. And then the deceitfulness of riches. There's that desire to get gain materially. And then the lust for other things, the desire for other things in my life. I want the Lord plus this. I want God to have His way, but I also want. And I suppose if we're honest and we really took time to think about it, maybe a lot of us would fall into that category. I want the Lord plus this. I want the Lord to bless me in this way. Somebody was praying about getting married. Oh Lord, if it be Your will, you know, give me a wife and let it be Susie. not only let it be, but exactly who it should be. And that's not being pure in heart. And so, to be pure in heart not only means to be clean, cleansed from sin, but it also has to do with being free from other interests and desires that crowd out the place that the Lord Jesus wants to have in our life. Sometimes they're good interests, but they take too much of a place in our heart. Now, I'm not trying to tell you that you're not supposed to pursue any careers, and you're not supposed to have any hobbies, and you're not supposed to be interested in this or that. God made us that way, and we can glorify Him with those interests. But I'm talking about the place that Jesus holds in your heart. I'd be willing to give up anything else but Christ. Some people, they get all obsessed with the computer. They spend hours and hours on the computer. My son, he goes on the computer. He learned PowerPoint before I ever did. I would look over there and I'd see words flying and coming up from the bottom and over to the side. And I figured, how in the world did he do that? Well, he experiments and then he remembers what he did. And he makes all these posters for us and stuff. But you know, you got to get them off the computer once in a while and put some limits on these things, because you can get overly interested and obsessed with some of these things. And not only do they rob your time, rob God of the time that you need to give Him, but it does something in your heart to kill your desire, to stifle your desire for the Lord. And so we need to let God empty us so that He can fill us with Himself. And it's good to take time to just wait upon the Lord and to put aside these other things that we're so occupied with. We notice that God does that for us at camp. We get away from the computer. Well, for the most part, some have to bring their laptops with them. I did that too. And we get away from TVs and radios and newspapers and all these other things that are just so much a part of our everyday living. And we just get alone with the Lord, and we talk about Him every day, and we get into meetings morning and night, and sometimes in the afternoon, and we find that there's a purifying that's taking place in my heart. God's freeing me from these things that I thought I couldn't live without. I find that there's something more precious to live with, and that's Jesus in my heart and His Word filling my heart and mind. And so to be pure in heart has to do with wanting one thing, having one desire above all others, and being freed up from these other things that crowd him out. Purity of heart in connection with other people has something to do with our motives. Sometimes people, they deal with you, but their motives aren't pure. You can tell that. And even in our dealings with God, sometimes our motives are not right. James talks about that. He says, you ask and you receive not, because you ask amiss. And then he goes on to talk about that you might consume it on your own lusts. You're asking for things with the wrong motive. You're not asking for things that God might be glorified, but that you might somehow be satisfied and comforted and consume it selfishly upon yourself, on your own lusts. And so we have to pray, God, cleanse my motives. Make me to really live for God's glory and to want to exalt and glorify Jesus Christ in everything. But then the last thing that I just think about tonight is to be pure in heart has to do with our will. And I guess these all hang together, don't they? But to be pure in heart, when the Bible talks about the heart, it's often referring to the will. And the reason I know that is because in James, it mentions there, to purify your hearts, ye double-minded. James 4:8. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. And we find other places in the Bible where the heart seems to be connected with our will. Our will ought to be surrendered to the Lord. Jesus showed us that when he was there in Gethsemane. Not my will, but thy will be done. All throughout Jesus' life, he chose his Father's will in everything. And he set an example for us, and not only an example, but he would like to do that again in us, in each one of us. He would like to live out that life within us where we choose God's will all the time. There are things that we begin to consider, especially when we're teenagers, we're in a place in our life where we're going to make decisions, we're thinking about careers, we're thinking about relationships, and all of these things. And there we need to pray very earnestly, Lord, you're not my will, but your will be done. Now, God doesn't want us to get into a real strain about that. He wants you to use common sense. He wants you to, as Brother Paul said the other day, go through doors that God opens for you. And but behind it all is that prayer, your will be done. Your will be done, not my will. God, if you show me something different, help me to see that and help me to choose that, to lay aside that which I was pursuing and move in your direction. And I've begun to pray, Lord, get hold of my will. Make me want to do what you want me to do. I find, looking in my life, that sometimes when I don't obey the Lord, haven't obeyed the Lord as I should, I find that it wasn't so much that I couldn't obey the Lord. If I would have chose to and sought God, he would have given me the grace to do it. But the problem was not with a lack of grace. The problem was with a lack of my will. I didn't want to go God's way. I didn't want to obey. I wanted to please myself instead. And to be pure in heart means to choose Jesus all the time. I've been asking myself the question every once in a while when I think about it. Right now, am I wanting what he wants for me? Well, maybe you're sitting down doing something, and then you think about that. Is this what Jesus wants me to do right now? Could I be doing something better? Sometimes you say, this is a waste of time. I should be doing something better, more profitable. And I find that during the day, when the Lord reminds me, when I have a moment, I'll ask myself that question. Am I doing what he wants? Am I wanting what he wants for me right now? And you find that if you'll do that through the day, you'll find that you'll live a little bit differently than you did before. You'll begin to consider the choices that are before you. And you'll consider that you could live more for Jesus if you're more conscientious along those lines. Now, I just like this verse in the Old Testament, and I'm going to leave with this one. It's in Proverbs chapter 22. And there it talks about purity of heart. Matthew said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And here in Proverbs 22, it talks about he that loveth pureness of heart. Verse 11. He that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king, shall be his friend. In the NIV, it says, he who loves a pure heart and whose speech is gracious will have the king for his friend. Well, that's a wonderful promise, isn't it? Blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. If you love pureness of heart, if you pursue purity of heart in your life, you'll have the king for your friend. You'll enter into relationship with the Lord that doesn't come any other way. If you watch the way you speak, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And if you're careful not to speak foolishly and so on, but you just surrender yourself to God and say, Lord, help me to speak those things that please you and that build up others. You know, that also has to do with those choices I was talking about. You know, we let so many things come out of our mouth that we really don't need to. And sometimes you need to say, Lord, was that what God wanted me to say? Or is that just something I felt like saying? You know, there aren't too many people that live that carefully. I suppose only God knows. But I find that a lot of people, we just say what we feel like saying. And then if we get convicted, we ask the Lord to forgive us. Well, prevention's the better medicine. And maybe we should ask the Lord to put a watch over the gate of our lips so that we don't let things come out that don't honor the Lord, build up and bless others. And so he that loveth pureness of heart and whose speech is gracious, careful about the way he talks, the way she talks. He said that person is going to know God in a way that most people don't know him. There aren't too many people in the Bible you read about of whom it is said they were friends of God. They knew God as their friend. We certainly read that about Abraham. And I'm sure we can learn a lesson about purity of heart from him. And then Jesus said that we're his friends if we do whatsoever he commands us. And this is one of the things he commands us to do. So let him purify us. And so I want you to go home and think about that. Not right now. Still got some work to do here. But if God could put that prayer into our hearts, oh God, make me to know the blessedness of being pure in heart. Pure gold. so that the Master can mold me and make me after his will. I'm going to go back home and I'm going to really deal with God about this. As I mentioned the other day, I'm not going to get caught up with the same distractions and interests that I was all tied up with before I came to camp. But I'm going to make more room for Jesus in my life. I'm going to let him cleanse me. I'm going to let him fill me with that one desire. And I'm going to let him help me, teach me how to choose his will every moment of every day. And if that's our goal when we go back home, if that's what we're going to pursue, you'll find that God will be right there to meet you. And he'll even open the way. We talked about when we go back home, we're going to expect to see God go before us. And he's going to open the way to help us to find him as our friend. And it might not happen all at once, but you know, the process is wonderful too. You're going to get sweet touches of the Holy Spirit upon your life. The Lord's going to give you sweet visitations, and more, he's going to establish you in that abiding walk with Jesus, which is more wonderful than we can put into words. And so let's pray that God will do that for us. Make me pure in heart, Jesus. Teach me what that means and what it means in my life. And then if nobody else does it, well, let me do it, Lord. Because I want to know. If I can know you as my friend, well, then I'd be a fool not to put everything into that pursuit. Because faithful is he who promised, who also will do it. Amen.